It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show with Rick Pruse and Lee Cohen.
I crashed into the jungle while I was trying
We're
to
back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us on the line a returning guest. It's Heidi Williams, who is the director of the Ingham County Animal Control. Welcome back to the show, Heidi.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, it's our pleasure to have you. Marking time, Heidi. I remember last year you started and then we went into COVID season. Now it's your 1 year anniversary, I suppose.
Yeah, it's been a heck of a year, but we're doing good.
Well, that's great. For any of our listeners who don't know, can you explain what's been going on at Ingham County Animal Control? Because I imagine that this has been a fairly active year, even if people don't think it was.
Yeah, we actually have stayed really busy. COVID definitely threw a couple monkey wrenches into our plans, but my staff is amazing, and they've really been resilient. And we've kind of taken this opportunity. We've had lower numbers of animals in the shelter, which is really great because it's given us an opportunity to really look at all of our internal policies and procedures, change some of our some of the ways we're doing things, really re-examining all of our programs from the top down and trying to figure out how we can better serve the public, how we can be more user-friendly and customer service-oriented. So we really haven't been sitting back with our heels up eating bonbons. We've actually been working really hard this last year to really change things for the better, for not only better for the animals, but better for staff and better for the communities. It's been an interesting year, but it's been a really good year too. We've been in the process of rebranding the shelter. You'll see a new logo coming out, and that's kind of goes with our new mission statement and kind of our new focus on customer service and the community. So there's going to be some exciting things coming out this year. I mean, we're still kind of treading water like everybody else is, as far as we don't really know what the next 6 or 9 months looks like, so we're kind of going business as usual, but we're still open for adoptions. We're still open for people that want to come in and volunteer. We've started up our volunteer orientations again, but we're limiting them to 10 people per session. So if anybody is interested in volunteering, they can reach out to Lauren, our volunteer coordinator, and all that information is on our website.
So what I'd like to do, it's almost you threw it out there, and I need to talk about it because in order to make the rest of this show make meaning, we need to talk a little bit about what you just brought up, and that is mission statement and branding. Because realistically, you know, if the public really wants to know what Ingham County Animal Control is all about, the reality is you've just spent probably weeks, if not months, exercising through that, because I know I've gone through this process a couple times in the history of the store, and it really is enlightening to actually, you know, you go through the motions like you had mentioned pre-COVID, you know, stepped into the job, took all the chaos, and just tried to run with it. Now you have an opportunity to kind of reset the clock. Let's talk a little bit about what you found out through that process of branding and mission statement.
Yeah, so real quick, I'll just tell what our mission statement is, because the staff actually created this before I got there, and I think it's an excellent mission statement. Our mission is basically to serve the community, provide compassionate treatment and care, and strive for the best possible outcome for all. And when we say all, we're not only talking about the animals, but we're also talking about the public, our community, our customers, as I like to refer to them too. It's definitely been... I realized very quickly when I took over that our shelter, among some people, did not have a very good reputation. Some of that was based on some of the things that had happened with, you know, the dog fighting investigation. Some of it was bad interactions that they'd had with former staff members. And we really, I recognized that we really kind of had a black eye with some people in our community. So I've spent the better part of the last year trying to listen to those complaints and grievances and investigate them and try to figure out where we could do better. Probably see me engage quite a bit more on social media. I'm jumping on a lot of these lost and found pet pages and addressing some misconceptions that there are out there. A lot of them revolve around euthanasia and our procedures with euthanasia. So I'm not afraid to take these things on head on. I don't take them personally. I understand that, you know, people have a right to feel the way they do about different things that have happened in the past. But I also am asking people to give us a chance moving forward and to right some of those wrongs. And also, some of them were not necessarily wrong. Some of them were just misunderstandings. And
right.
So spent a lot of time inviting people to come and take tours of the shelter and see the building, the facility, and what we can offer. It's amazing, and people don't know that it's there.
Well, that's fair enough. And I would imagine that if there's any one event that's happened just coincidentally, there's the entire new building at about the same time that you're actually a new position, a new person in the position. No better way to kind of step off and send the word out, because realistically, when these complaints come, you can kind of try to smack them down like little fires. But if you don't get to the root of the problem, you know, why did they complain? Was it of merit? You know, is there something you can do institutionally to reduce the chance that that same complaint comes forward, and just be honest with yourself and be honest with the process that you're underfoot. Sometimes, I know in our store, I've been dealing lately with a few complaints, and some of it really, you know, the customer doesn't want to hear that there's reasons for it, right? They just want to hear a good apology, and they don't want it to happen again. Or sometimes it gets to the point they're so upset that they don't want to listen to reason. But the reality is I can at least take a look at those truths and see what that was all about. Why did it happen? And how can we make that not happen again? Because realistically, you might lose one, but if you don't change those processes, they're just speaking up for the many people that actually experience those kind of problems. And you just happen to be fortunate enough to have one squeaky wheel that's saying, hey, this is a problem. You know, sometimes they're a little bit hard to handle, but all necessary. And I guess listening to what you say there, I'm kind of cathartically going through my last week, if nothing else. So I can truly appreciate what you're saying. So,
You know, and it's difficult. Everybody's going through tough times right now with COVID and being in quarantine for a year. And I think we all definitely are suffering from COVID fatigue. I know I am, and I know my staff is, and the public is. And you know, my biggest thing with my staff is just telling people to remain patient and realize that everybody's struggling right now and have some compassion, some empathy, but also recognize that people do have complaints. We are the government. We are here to help. That's not a punchline to a joke. That is our job. And I take it very seriously.
There
is a huge customer service aspect to this job, and we're doing our best.
Now, I imagine some of these thoughts and ideas came through. Did you sit down with the branding company to come up with the brand, and do you share all these thoughts? And how does the new brand that we'll be looking at, the public face, the lettering or the symbols that are now going to be part of animal control, how was that an organic process? Was that just sending it out there and having somebody come back with an opinion, or how did it work?
So I started the process kind of just very informally with myself and some staff members when I first took over. I wanted to give myself an opportunity to really get an amount of time under my belt before I started making big decisions, because I was educating myself and still am. I'm still learning the job. But I also listened to our volunteers. I listened to the community. Like I said, I subscribe to a million pet pages on Facebook, and I listen to what they're saying, and I engage with people out on Messenger. I invite people to come in for tours. I've reached out to a lot of our rescue partners and listened to what they had to say. So between all of that, our volunteers, our staff, the officers, I just kind of started putting together some things. Our logo was created by a local company called Outer Graphics. Carrie Schaefer has worked with us on some projects. She created our logo based on kind of letting people know that we're not here to hurt. We're here to help. So our logo is a little friendlier than the past logo. It's a little more lighthearted, but still keeps in line with animal control, because we do have statutory obligations that we have to keep in forefront, but also that we are here. We do have some community services we can provide, like the vaccination clinics, the low-cost spay and neuters. So the logo is kind of a softened approach. And then the rest of the rebranding is just really stuff that we've worked on internally and listened to our customers, both internal and external, and starting to make some of those changes.
Now, Heidi, what's interesting to me that you said is that the number of animals that you've had to care for has been down. And that surprises me a little, only because in the last year, statistics say the percentage of households with pets has gone up fairly dramatically. And what it tells me is that they must be taking, because it sounds like fewer people are releasing pets to you, or you're finding fewer, or you're adopting them out faster. But bottom line is, something's going on there. Can you explain to me what that is?
Yeah, you know, it's really an enigma. We don't really know, other than, yes, more people are home and they have opened up their homes to pets. We have seen an increase in adoptions. We have seen a lower rate of owner-surrendered pets, and we're picking up fewer pets. But I also, being on these Facebook pages and these social media sites, I'm noticing that when people are finding an animal, they're trying to locate the owner on their own. They're notifying us that they found it in accordance with the law, but they're willing to keep the animal, care for the animal until the owner is located. So I think that's probably a big part of it, too, is the community is really stepping up and taking an active role in these lost and found pets. There's actually a couple of shelters down in Texas that have started some very interesting programs where they are relying on the community to help care for lost and found pets. And it's through their shelter. The animals will actually be brought into the shelter, vaccinated, given a health check, logged, photos taken, put on the website. And then that person, the finder, essentially becomes a foster for the shelter, but they keep them in a home environment. It's a really intriguing idea to me, and it's something that we're looking at possibly doing, because it really helps us. If we can keep the shelter numbers low, the care that we're giving the fewer animals in the shelter is just that much better. And that's really our goal, is to provide the highest level of care we can while these animals are with us.
And you did bring up the idea of kitten season coming. How do you think COVID will be affecting numbers coming in, numbers going out? Do you have any kind of forecasting at this point? Maybe down south, how have the southern animal controls been, what have they been confronting now that they probably have the season sooner than you? Can you beat off of that at times?
Well, we really can't. What we determine is how rough the winter is, how rough our kitten season is going to be, so to speak. And it's been a pretty darn mild winter. So I'm concerned that it could be a pretty busy kitten season. But last year, we really didn't see the normal kitten season, from what I'm told. Last year was my first year, so I don't have a lot to base it off of. But my staff said that last year was very abnormal in the fact that we were very low on kitten numbers. And again, I'm wondering if it's because people are just taking them into their homes and taking care of them and rehoming them on their own. We've also been trying to start like a public education aspect of this, and we're doing a series of videos that we're releasing. We have a new YouTube channel that I'd like people to subscribe to if they can. It's Ingham County Animal Shelter, and we're putting out some videos on, what happens when an animal is brought into the shelter, what's the day in the life of an animal control officer, things like that. We're doing one now on our medical services, our veterinarian and our spay and neuter services, but we also will be putting out one on what do you do when you do find a litter of kittens, what's the proper care that should be taken for them, because again, if we can, get the community's help in this, it just makes us more effective. So as far as this kitten season goes, I really don't know what to expect. We're preparing for the worst and hoping for the best.
Now, Heidi, what kind of capacity do you have for cats in the shelter?
So I wish we had more. In our stray area, we actually can hold about 40 cats. And then we have a treatment room that'll hold another 20-ish. But we don't like to stock them full. We actually like to keep about half that number because we find that the disease stays low. When you cram a bunch of animals into a small area, as Rick knows, your chance for disease and infection increases. So we're trying to be cognizant of that. That's why you will see our shelter close to cat intakes at times. It's not because we don't want to help. It's because really cramming that many animals into an area, can we care for them? Yes. Is it the quality of care that we want? No. Does it burn out staff? Yes. So we're trying to balance that. What's the best for the animals, for staff, for the community?
Gotcha.
So you will see us close at times. And we do work with local rescues a lot on transferring cats out. And we've got some wonderful cat rescues in the area that really help us out a lot. So, but just because we're closed doesn't mean that there's still not services out there for cats.
Right. We're talking this morning with Heidi Williams, Director of Ingham County Animal Control. And Heidi, we need to take a break. We'll be right back here on 1320 WILS.
Like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/mmpets. Upload your pet's picture or check out the silly pet photos that we put up there to get you through your day.
Dogs are not our friends, they just pretend, it's just emotion.